Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Headphones down, man, so you can't hear what I'm going to do. I run these cans kind of hot, man. My DJ training, man. I like it when the rock and roll's bleeding out of my ears.
Give me a better mic screen.
Yeah,
I've worked the mic. It's a little hot.
I need some more compression.
You sound like a consultant I once met.
Consultants. Hey. Why don't you put a little more emphasis on the N in
WNBC?
Well, there's that.
WNBC.
That famous one. Who said that to Howard Stern, right? Isn't that the story with the... Yeah, emphasize the letter N when you say WNBC. He became program director of WGN.
Yes. So it's WGN.
Right.
720 WGN.
Yeah, man. More compression. Very sad about the Rolling Stones.
That they're not coming.
Yeah.
Well, at least for now.
At least for now. The doctors are saying that Mick will make a recovery, but they're not saying what it is. And Mick is very upset. He tweeted out, I'm so sorry to all of our fans in America and Canada with tickets. That doesn't sound anything like Mick Jagger.
No, it doesn't.
Not sure who that was.
Sounded like a little Sean Connery.
Maybe a little Paul McCartney mixed in with a little Peter McCartney-ish.
Yeah. I think I'll do it without the accent. I really hate letting you down like this. He says, I'm devastated for having to postpone the tour, but I will be working very hard to be back on stage as soon as I can. Once again, huge apologies to everyone from Mick Jagger.
Well, when we find out more, we'll report it.
Yeah. The two shows at Soldier Field were supposed to be June 21st and 25th. You know how hard it is to sell out Soldier Field?
What, the Soldier's Field down the road?
Do you know how hard it is to sell out the Soldier's Field?
Well, when you get a group like that, it probably isn't all that hard.
If there were the Stones for U2, for Beyonce.
Brit Springsteen.
Springsteen.
Gary Lewis and the Playboys. Sorry. Sorry.
Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
I heard a song by them.
Which
the other
one?
Day. This Diamond Ring.
Doesn't shine for you
for
anymore.
Me anymore.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Yes, it is.
I'm going to have that played at my wedding. Like that's ever going to happen. So if you have tickets, the concert promoters are saying just hold on to your tickets for now. And they will either be valid at rescheduled shows, or I would imagine, they're not saying it, but I would imagine that if you can't go to the rescheduled shows, then they'll give you your money back.
Boy, think of the money they have to refund.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, not only from the Soldier's Field, but wherever else they were playing.
Yeah. So we've got the stars. Unfortunately, I couldn't give the movie Dumbo a good review.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like it.
No?
That's too bad.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Sorry, Dumbo, with your big floppy ears. Maybe you didn't hear my bad review with those big floppy ears. But I did enjoy talking with two of the stars from the movie, Danny DeVito and Colin Farrell. We'll share those.
That's right. Danny's in it.
Danny's in it. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later on today. And we have a new producer on our Sunday morning show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Ariel Halpern is now the official producer of the Sunday morning show. Did producer former producer who got fired last week, Tom Hush, did he tell you? Did he give you any warning?
He was pretty good. He kind of sort of letting me get my feet wet, which is pretty good.
He didn't say anything like, you don't know what you're in for.
No, but he hasn't said that, but everyone else in the station has given me weird looks.
Now, did you bring a gift for Swanee? Because that's what ultimately caused Tom Rush to be off the show.
Right.
I need a minute then.
Okay.
Did he tell you that Swanee shows up drunk most weeks? We start pouring coffee into him around...
turn down that compressor there.
7:30. Hey, man, my cans are bleeding through. we start pouring coffee into Swanee around 7:30 or so.
More like 4:15. As Andy can attest.
Yes.
I'm very happy that Ariel is joining us on the show.
Welcome.
Welcome. Yeah. He's been here on a rather filling basis.
He's been here for a while.
On this program.
And he's filled in here occasionally, but he's an outstanding producer. I think he's going to do a great job.
Thank you.
Looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Did he tell you about the 40-year alarm that we have?
I remember hearing it.
Okay.
I'll have to give him a call.
To fill you in with
He'll
that.
Have to. He can provide that, I'm sure.
That's going to be your number one responsibility.
To keep your finger on the trigger there.
Pretty much anytime Swanee talks, keep your finger on the...
I already violated it more than once.
Whenever you hear Swanee's voice, have your finger on the button of the 40-year rule alarm. Because he completely ignores it. Did we find the person who said they went to 88 Rolling Stone shows?
Yes, we're going to bring him on at 9:45.
We were talking about the Stones. Somebody texted in and said they went to 88 Rolling Stone shows. That's like the Elton Jim of...
Yeah. That's only halfway there, though.
Yeah, Elton is... I think he's approaching, 300 shows or something like that now. But we're going to talk with that person in a little while today. Oh, the NAACP Image Awards were last night. Talking about Beyonce, she was named Entertainer of the Year. The movie Black Panther was named Movie of the Year. Blackish was named TV Comedy of the Year. Power was named TV Drama. But Jussie Smollett was nominated for an award last night. He didn't show up. He didn't come to the awards. He also didn't win. But Chris Rock talked about Jussie Smollett on stage, and it is hilarious. We'll play that for you coming up in a little while as well. Okay? All right. Let's take a break, and we'll carry on here. It's, 9:23 already? Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WG. It is 9:26. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. So the NAACP Image Awards have been handed out for 50-plus years. And last night, as I had mentioned, Beyonce was named Entertainer of the Year. Black Panther was named Best Motion Picture of the Year. TV Drama Power, named Best TV Drama Comedy. Blackish. Anthony Anderson and Tracy Ellis Ross were named Best Actor and Actress from a Comedy. Omari Hardwick was named Best Actor in a Drama. And Best Actress in a Drama, interestingly, Taraji P. Henson from the TV show Empire. Same show that Jussie Smollett is working for. And he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Before all of this, I got beat up in Chicago stuff came up. He did not win the award last night. In fact, he was spotted in Los Angeles, but he did not attend the awards. But that doesn't mean that he was forgotten last night. The actress Yara Shahidi, who stars in the Blackish spinoff Grown-ish, she spoke about him. You'll hear that clip, just a short little bit of it. But comedian Chris Rock held nothing back when he came out on stage to present an award. Oh, okay. We'll get to that in just a minute. They on the red carpet, they were talking you know, with all the stars on there. And inevitably, people were, you know, the stars that were walking the red carpet were being asked, what do you think of the Jussie Smollett case? And it was about half and half, interestingly. A lot of people still supporting Jussie Smollett, still supporting him. Anthony Anderson was one of them, saying that he's glad that he got off and that he believes him. You know, I guess everybody's entitled to their own view on that. But about half also did not feel so strongly about Jussie Smollett. And Chris Rock, most notably, kind of summarized it all in his comments, which we'll get to you in a second here. We're just that there was a little bit of a few words that we're not allowed to put on the radio that we're editing out right now as we speak. So we'll get to that in a minute or two. In fact, let me take a break. We'll play that for you when we come back, and then we'll get to the news and today's far-flung forecast next on WGN. All right, so last night, as I'd mentioned, the NAACP Image Awards, Chris Rock gets on the stage to present an award, and I guess they had told him ahead of time, before he went on stage, don't say anything about Jussie Smollett. Well, that's all you need to tell a comedian. Don't talk about something. That'll be the first thing that they talk about. So, Shawnee, even though we're in news time right now, this yeah. is news, right?
Oh, it's definitely news.
This is news. This is news. Listen to what Chris Rock said when he got on stage.
They said no Jussie Smollett jokes. Yeah, I know. What a waste of light skin, you know? You know what I could do with that light skin? That curly hair, my career would be out of here. Running Hollywood. Yes, no, just did. What the hell was he thinking? From now on, I ain't never gonna know just. You're Jussie from now on. You don't even get the you no more. That you was respect. You ain't getting no respect from me.
How about that? Getting spanked by Chris Rock.
Wow. Have we heard anything from Jussie Smollett or his people or anything?
No, I think
that
he finally learned to shut his mouth.
Ah.
Just, I think he learned he doesn't have to talk into every microphone that happens to be standing out there this week. But wow, Chris Rock really giving it to him last night. All right, let's get caught up with what's going on here, and we'll get to the far-flung forecast at 9:33. Here's the latest in Dave Schwann. This is where I say that coming up in our next hour, we'll talk theater with the artistic director of Looking Glass Theater Company. They have got a brand new theater schedule for their new season, all set to go. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later on.
I've been holding out so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you.
9:47. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. And we started off the show telling you the news that broke yesterday morning about the Rolling Stones postponing their concert tour indefinitely. Mick Jagger is being advised by his doctors to not go on tour right now. They're not saying what the medical condition is that is preventing Mick from going out on the road, but that's the way it is right now. So if you had tickets to the June 21st or 25th concerts at Soldier Field, they're saying hang on to those tickets, and they will either be good at the rescheduled concert, which they are saying that Mick will make a recovery from whatever it is that he's got right now and will eventually go out on the road. Hold on to the tickets, or you know, you can get a refund at some point as well. In the meantime, though, we got a text this morning it was a picture of Mick Jagger that just said 88 times. So we called the number back, and it was Jim Patriga, who I've talked with on the show here before. Jim, you have seen the Rolling Stones 88 times. Is that correct?
Yes, 88 times is correct, Dean.
How about that? Why do you put it that way? That's fantastic.
Well, a lot of people think it's a bit much, but I'm pretty much small potatoes compared to a lot of these other folks in the 200 to 300 range, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there are super fans for lots of different bands and acts that, you know, go to as many shows as possible. So what was your reaction when you heard the news yesterday? You must have been very, I assume you had tickets for the Soldier Field shows that are coming up.
We had tickets for opening show in Miami and then Jacksonville and then the New Orleans Jazz Fest and then Chicago and then Toronto. So it was a kick in the teeth. There's no question about it.
Now, have you heard anything? I assume that you've been talking with your Rolling Stones buddies about what might be going on.
Yeah, there's nothing out there. But the key is it's postponed, not canceled. So that's very optimistic. And even Mick's tweet yesterday was very optimistic about getting in shape or getting back to work. So I'm hoping it's just a physical thing. It's the, you know, whether it's a knee or a MCL or whatever, you know, because the rehearsals were all set up to go. I mean, he was in Miami, so they were ready to go. This isn't something that, well, it was found at his insurance check or whatever beforehand, or one of them.
Right.
And they were in Miami ready to go, so it was just recent that this all came down. So it's hopefully it's just a minor thing, and you know, maybe fall. I mean, the problem is it was all NFL stadiums, so
right.
That's another big problem for a fall type tour, and maybe it's next year.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, maybe they'll just hold it off for a little while. What have you heard about this tour? What were you expecting in terms of you know, what they were going to be presenting?
Well, it was they've been working on a new album, so I don't know if they're going to squeeze one or two of those in there. Maybe not. I did see the show, and I went to Dublin last year for the opening of the tour over the No Filter tour over in Dublin. So it was a pretty standard thing. Although it was kind of interesting, they did Play with Fire, which was, you know, that's why I like to go to the first show, because they usually throw something out there that you don't see the rest of the, it either doesn't work or they just make something special or throw an extra song in. And so that's always exciting. That's why Miami was going to be so exciting in a couple of weeks, you know. But it's just, it is what it is. And we'll move on. And it's not an end, which is important.
Yeah. Was I correct? I was guessing from memory that Mick is 75. Is that correct?
75 is correct. So if you can imagine, I mean, just even watching him last year just run up and down the
right.
the runway there, and, exactly. and even Keith Richards moving up and down the runway. I mean, these guys, 75, my goodness, it's an amazing thing. And yeah.
Is Keith also 75? Is Keith also 75?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, he's 75 as well.
How about the rest of the guys in the band? They must be in the same neighborhood at least, right?
I think Charlie's 2 years older, and Ronnie is 2 or 3 years younger. I should know that, but I can't think of it right now. So,
you know, think about that. You know, relatives you may have, you know, friends, family, who are 75 years old, and the kind of energy that's required to put on these shows, and the kind of energy that they put out there for all of their shows. It's
that's why Mick was not the one you expect to be the problem. You know,
right?
The other guys you expect to have been the problem here, but. Yeah. That's why it's encouraging. That's why it's encouraging, and we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate that this was the week that the bad news came down, since it was the 3-year anniversary of the Cuba show, which was you and I talked after that show.
That's right.
So exciting and reminiscing through those photos and all the excitement that was around the Cuba show, and then we'll live on the memories until the next show, I guess.
Yeah, it sure sounds like this is just a temporary setback. These you had also sent us some photos. Are those from the Cuba show that you sent us?
Three were from Cuba. One was from Dublin. I was Cuba, since it was a free show for the Cuban people. I was able to get my professional camera in there and was able to shoot like crazy from a pretty good spot after the gate rush and everything else that went on, which you and I talked about before.
So I
did pretty well with those. It's, you don't always get to sneak the good camera in, you know, and especially at the regular concert venues nowadays, but that one I was, and it was fun to get those kind of shots.
What highlights have there been for you in seeing the Stones that many times, Jim? Have there been certain moments that will live with you forever?
Well, Well, one of probably the first moment was the first time we saw them was 1994 up at Camp Randall. You know, my sisters had said, we got to go see them, we got to go see them. So one of the unique things is I've got 88 shows in, but that's just since 94. So, I mean, we bought third row tickets on Keith's side, which is the right-hand side there, and he came down during Jumpin' Jack Flash and was, you know, three or four people away from us, and that was the hook moment, you know. It was unbelievable. Other highlights, Cuba was the desert trip was fun. That thing they did a couple years ago out in Palm Springs where they had the Stones and Bob Dylan and McCartney and to who and everybody. That was a fun time as well. I like the different things. That's why this is so disappointing with the New Orleans Jazz Fest was going to be different, and the Burroughs Creek thing in Toronto was going to be different. You know, it's not like this regular stadium. I like those different things. Cuba was a way different thing. I mean, just getting in was interesting there, but whatever. So I like when they do something different. The Beacon Theater thing they did, when they recorded the Shine a Light movie and stuff like that. That was very fun and very interesting. And you know, every show is great. What's the best show? I always say it's the last show.
Right.
Unfortunately, I still have tickets tacked to my billboard here with from Warsaw last year, where I just didn't get a chance to go, and that would have been the last show that they had done up to this point.
I remember the last, I've only seen them twice, but the last time that I saw them was at Soldier Field, and the thing that got me, it wasn't so much you know, a song or a moment, it was the experience, you know, of seeing the Stones and, you know, being there up close and personal with them, and the kind of energy that they brought after all these years of playing, you know, for the most part, many of the same songs over and over and over. There was zero fatigue. It's like it was their first concert every time.
Yeah, and Dublin last year was so energetic. I mean, it's just, and it went right through the whole No Filter tour last year, which is why they're continuing. We had heard it was supposed to end as of last year, and that was going to be the end, and then it just keeps getting extended. You know, they came out with the little thing saying No Stopping Tour last year. Everybody thought it was going to be called the No Stopping Tour. It ended up being No Filter Tour, but it's just exciting. I can't explain it. You know, Elton John could be the same situation. You know, he can't explain that either. And he and I ended up being right next to each other by the stage there at the last show in Chicago there.
Oh, is that right? Really?
Yeah, we're buddies. We're buddies a little bit, yeah.
How many Elton John shows have you been to?
I'm thinking, I don't have an exact count, but I'm thinking 35 or so.
Wow. I cannot.
Yeah,
I saw Tina Turner three times. I thought that was a big deal.
Oh, and I think the Neil Diamonds and the James Taylors, you know, every tour, you know, just and Rod Stewart, you know, a lot of those, you know, but the Stones have been something that's just been into the blood. Yeah, I've probably got 35,000 to 40,000 photos from them over the years because I just shoot like crazy when I'm there, it's been a fun thing combining my passion photography with passion for music.
Yeah, very cool. It's very cool. Your photos are great as well. Jim, I appreciate you,
you
texting in. I appreciate you giving us a couple of minutes to talk about this because the Stones are definitely in the news right now. We'll keep our fingers crossed for a quick rescheduling of all this.
Yep, absolutely. I'm with you there, buddy.
All right.
And then we'll see Dave out there. We'll drag Dave out there. That's what we're going to do.
Bring his 45 records out there. 45.
Yeah, he didn't comment about the comma, though, and paint it black. And, you know, because it's painted comma black. I'm surprised he didn't bring that little nuance to the conversation.
Now we're getting into nerd land.
Is the 40 bell going off?
Now I can see that you are an Elton John fan. Jim Patriga, thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. I was mentioning last night I went to dinner and in this restaurant. I was at the Sistaria, a Greek restaurant in Lincolnwood. I love that place. It's my new go-to Greek joint out in the suburbs. I love it. I was there, and they had the NCAA games mm-hmm. on last night. And
oh, when, that's where you heard all the screaming and
yeah,
the yelling.
Yeah, when Gonzaga lost, I thought somebody got shot in the bar, because that's how yeah. people reacted. But also, you know, very nice. You know, my friends told them that it was my birthday, and they brought a candle to the table.
A candle.
A candle. Because otherwise it would be a fire. Well, it would be a fire hazard otherwise. The Lincolnwood Police Department doesn't allow that much. Oddly, at a Greek restaurant where there's nothing but flaming cheese going up all night. But it's... does anybody enjoy the happy birthday at the table? I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
No. You're right. I don't.
Except the other people whose birthday it's not.
Exactly. They feel really good.
They enjoy that you're in the spotlight like that. So I appreciate it. You know, it's nice. We all got together for a nice little birthday dinner. That's enough.
Have you ever been in restaurants where they round up all the servers yes. and the staffers and they're yes. clapping?
Happy,
and
happy, 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 happy.
May all your dreams come true.
Oh, yeah. That's rough.
We had a family vacation with another family way back in the day, and for a joke, every time we went out for dinner, it was my dad's birthday. Any restaurant we went to, it was my dad's birthday.
Get a lot of free cake that way.
Oh, it was great to watch the look on his face after.
Happy, 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 happy.
He thought he avoided it, but nope, we got him.
You know, I should mention also, you know, today is also Orion Samuelson's birthday.
That's right.
Oh, really?
Orion and I share a birthday.
The same day.
And so I don't know if he's in town or in Arizona.
Well, happy
right now.
Birthday to Orion.
Not sure where the Big O is right now, but there is the man right there. There is the man right there. So happy birthday to Orion.
Absolutely.
And you'll like these, Shawnee. Other people sharing my birthday that I can remember. There's obviously others. But Herb Alpert.
Oh yeah.
Herb
of course.
Tijuana Brass.
Yep. Yep.
Also celebrating a birthday today. And actor Richard Chamberlain.
Today is his birthday.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you even know who that is, Andy?
Wasn't there like a miniseries with him in there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, there was.
Can't remember the name of it, though. Thornbirds?
Was it Thornbirds?
Yeah, there you go.
Thornbirds, yeah. That's correct. Yeah. He was also in The Towering Inferno.
Yeah. And, of course, Dr. Kildare on television.
Yep.
So... So that,
watch that and Ben Casey together.
So that concludes our birthday tribute for today. I almost took today off.
We'll cook it for you.
Certainly, we'll cook your dinner. Be the talk of the town, also the county.
Sorry.
And if anyone in our engineering department is listening, please go disconnect whatever that is that Shawnee's got. It's 10:15 WTN. Nasty, nasty boys. I don't know. Classic, Janet Jackson. Miss Jackson, if you're nasty. Inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this past Friday night at Brooklyn's Barclays Center. Janet was inducted. The Cure, Stevie Nicks, Def Leppard, Radiohead, Roxy Music, and the Zombies. Juana, you love the Zombies, don't you? You're a big fan of the Zombies.
Time of the Season.
Yeah.
And She's Not There.
That's some great songs through the years. Janet Jackson was introduced for her acceptance speech by Janelle Monáe. And they talked about, women empowerment. You would think, you know, they don't actually broadcast the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremonies until the end of April. It's going to be April 27th. But fortunately, we have a new producer on the show, Ariel Halpern, who, we've started something on the show here a couple of weeks ago. There, if we couldn't get actual guests, we have fake guests. So joining us as fake Janet Jackson on the show this morning is producer Ariel.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming on. I wonder, fake Janet, if you could summarize your... comments at the Rock Hall of Fame this past Friday night.
Well, it was a very big moment.
For you?
Yeah, huge moment for me.
For you, yeah.
Personally.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, my dream wasn't to really be a singer. I wanted to go to college and be a lawyer.
Never knew that.
Yeah. And so it was mostly my father's dream. He wanted me to become this wonderful performer. He encouraged me, and he was the one that made music my passion.
Wow. I feel like we're getting exclusive information here today.
Yeah, and then in 97, when my brothers were recognized for their musical passion by being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I was so proud of them. And, you know, I wanted to be like my older brothers.
Anything else?
Yeah, tonight, I'm in.
You mean last Friday
night? Last Friday I was in.
Last Friday you were in. Well, I couldn't be happier for you, fake Janet.
Yeah, and I guess I got to thank two really important people, Dick Clark and Don Cornelius.
Oh, really?
They introduced me to this vast audience, and they supported me and my music for 37 years. They made all the difference, and I thank them for that.
Wow. Fake Janet Jackson, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having me on.
That's another WGN exclusive interview, ladies and gentlemen. You will not hear that anywhere else in Chicago media. Fake Janet Jackson joining us, talking about her induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this past Friday night. A little bit of controversy. Fake Janet is gone now, or I should have asked her. Many of the performers that were inducted actually sang on the show. Janet Jackson did not. And a lot of people are speculating because the presentation will be on HBO on April 27th, that Janet didn't do it because the Jackson family is not so happy with HBO right now following the airing of the Michael Jackson documentary, Finding Neverland. Janet didn't comment one way or the other, but there is a lot of speculation about that right now. A quick break and we'll update news and get to the Week in Theater coming up next. Once again, it is time for the Week in Theater. What's going on stage in Chicago? A weekly look at shows, reviews. And this week, we dig into the brand new season that's just been announced at the Looking Glass Theater Company. Joining us on the line to talk about it, Looking Glass Artistic Director Heidi Stillman. Heidi, welcome to the show. Very nice to have you on with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
So before we start talking about the new season, which looks great, by the way, a couple of the shows that I was reading about, I'm so intrigued about. Talk to me a little bit about the history of Looking Glass, because as I travel around the country, sometimes or even around the world, and people ask me about the theater scene in Chicago, Looking Glass is one of the names that always comes up, that has really kind of put Chicago on the theatrical map of the world.
Well, that's exciting to hear. Well, this is our 31st season, which I kind of can't believe. The group started out of Northwestern. It was a group of, college graduates, recent graduates, and they decided to start the theater company. I came on in the first year, so I've been doing it for, I guess, 30 years now. Our aesthetic is very theatrical, which sounds weird considering we're theater, but there's a lot of theater that's very movie-like or TV-like, and I think our stuff is just very theatrical. It's very, it's got a lot of imagination. We're really into the image, the visual, the physical. We kind of ask the audience to lean in and help make the pictures, as you will. We have some ensemble members who have done really well for themselves out in the world, like Mary Zimmerman and David Catlin. Both of their plays have been all around the country, which is why I think people maybe know about Looking Glass. And then around 14 years ago, we were lucky enough to land in the Chicago water pumping station, and we have our theater there.
Yeah.
I pinch myself every time I walk in there. I just love our space so much.
I would think that you would have to, because just when I've come to review shows there, walking into that space, it's such a Chicago feel. Walking up to that building, being inside that building, And it's such a Chicago thing that you've all done with it, of taking this wonderful space and repurposing it for such a you know, dimensional thing, the kind of work that you do with Looking Glass.
Yeah, we're so lucky. We can't believe how lucky we got. Yeah.
So the new season, talk to me a little bit about some of the things that you've got coming up. I'll tell you what I'm most intrigued by, and I'll bet you're getting a lot of feedback about this. The world premiere of the show that's going to be called Her Honor, Jane Byrne.
Yes.
Tell us about this.
Well, we're super excited about this play. Our ensemble member, Nikki Brooke, has been working on it for quite a few years. It's serendipitous that we will have our second only ever woman mayor when this play is happening.
All right.
But Nikki grew up in Chicago, and it's about the 3 weeks that Jane Byrne spent or didn't spend in living in Cabrini Green. And Nikki remembers this from when she was a girl and remembers her mom talking about it. And Nikki's done a lot of research. She's also done a lot of interviews with Cabrini Green residents. So it has like a kind of, it has a kind of documentarian feel, although it is fictionalized. But you know, it's based on real events, and it's really cool. It has all kinds of characters in it too. So, you know, Studs Terkel makes an appearance.
No.
Marion Stamps is a really big character in the play, and it's really fun. I think people are really going to be interested in it.
Yeah, it sounds great. And again, it's so Chicago, so much a part of you know, what Looking Glass and the Chicago theater scene is all about, to take on something like this. It's going to be February 26th through April 12th of next year, 2020. And we'll give you information about you know, the season tickets and all that sort of thing coming up. What are some of the other shows that you've got coming up for the upcoming season?
Well, we're doing Looking Glass Alice again, which is a show that we have, you know, that show has traveled all around the country, and it's just a perennial favorite, and it's been a while since we've done it, so we like to bring that one out and do it. So we're excited about that. And then the show that we did last year, The Steadfast Tin Soldier, really took us by surprise. It was such a big hit over the holidays that we decided we needed to bring that back next year so that we can kind of secure it as a new holiday tradition. So we're excited about all of the shows.
Let me back you up a little bit, back to Looking Glass Alice for a minute.
Yeah.
For those that didn't see it the first time, you hadn't heard about it, talk to us a little bit about what that is.
Yes, well, you know, our theater company is named Looking Glass, so it is our eponymous story in a way, and it's a really, really fun, inventive, exciting version of Alice. It's kind of a mix of Through the Looking Glass and Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. It's very circus and visual heavy. It only has five actors who play all the characters. It's like Alice and then four actors who play everything. It's really funny, and the circus stuff is just so cool. So it is a really fun story. It's a story that it kind of all ages enjoy. It's not necessarily for, it's for families, but it's for grown-ups too. It's not just for kids. All of our stories are like that. Like, we make them for grown-ups, but every once in a while there are plays that the kids absolutely love too. So, and this is one of them.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention to you, that this is one that you can definitely take the kids to. I mean, people, you know, ask me all the time, would like to go check out some theater. Is there something that my kids will like that I won't be bored, you know, sitting and watching at the same time? That's obviously what you had in mind when you put this together.
Yeah. Yes, it is definitely for everyone.
So if people want to get information about the new season, you know, what's the best way to do all that?
probably to our website, Looking Glass Theater. And it should have all, it will have all the information on there. Yep.
And subscriptions are available, correct? For
yes. Yes, subscriptions are available. Okay. I don't even know what the prices are, if that's what you're asking.
I'd love. Well, no, I have that. I have all that in front of me. Yeah. I sort of love that you don't know, though. That's, you are.
I know the general ballpark, but I can't remember what we landed on.
Yeah.
Right now.
Well, and I'm gonna guess the box office people probably don't know the nuances of some of the plays that the artistic yeah. director is supposed to know.
Yeah, sometimes we have 3 shows, sometimes we have 4 shows, so that's why I'm scratching my head a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can, if you go to the website, you can get all the information. Looking Glass Theater, and that's theater, theatre.org, to get more information. Now, that all begins for the next season, for the 2019-2020
yes.
season. What do we have in the meantime leading up until that left for this season?
Well, we have our next show, Frankenstein, is coming up. And that is adapted by David Catlin. It's really cool. You know, there's been this kind of crazy infusion of Frankensteins this year, and we are the final installment of all the Frankensteins that have happened in the theater in Chicago this year. But it's really cool. It's really centered on Mary Shelley, who wrote the play. There's a great story of how the story came to be. She was, you know, in Switzerland in a mansion with her friends, which happened to be, you know, Percy Bysshe Shelley and Lord Byron. And they're having a ghost story contest at night. And this is true. And this is the story that she spun out in that when they were having their ghost storytelling contest. It was Frankenstein. And then everyone persuaded her to write it down. But the play kind of it has that as the framing device. It kind of starts with the storytelling, and then the characters morph into the characters in Frankenstein and kind of back out into the frame. And it's really interesting and cool.
When will that play?
That is going to play all summer long. It opens in May.
Okay, great. And then after that, what are we looking at around?
Well, that's when we go into our next season. So then it would be Tin Soldier, and then Her Honor Jane Byrne, and then Looking Glass Alice.
And beginning the new season then. Great.
Once again,
you want to get more information, it's lookingglasstheatre.org. Lookingglasstheatre, theatre. org to get more information. Heidi Stillman is the artistic director with Looking Glass, and I'm glad you could join us this morning. Thank you
so
much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Do you have any David Schwimmer projects that are in the pipeline anywhere?
Not right now. You know, he directed last year for us, so I need to have a conversation with him and see if he has any ideas brewing.
Been on Will and Grace quite a bit, keeping busy with that as well. So I guess he's
got a lot of things going on. He's doing some TV series in London right now too, in England.
Really?
Which I don't know the name of it. It's like a spy thing, I think.
Well, he's got a lot of nerve concentrating on his day job, but not concentrating on working at Looking Glass like we like him to do.
Yeah. Well, I just saw him the other day. He's very involved with Looking Glass, and he always has been, which is so great. Our ensemble is very involved, you know, even after all these years.
I do love that, you know, the people who have been associated with the theater never forget their roots, which is it's fantastic. Heidi, thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it, and have a great Sunday.
All right. You too.
It's Heidi Stillman, the artistic director of Looking Glass, talking about their brand new season this morning. Again, lookingglasstheatre.org. If you want more info, it's 10:52. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. You okay in there?
Oh, yeah.
Need some Vicks VapoRub?
I have cough drops.
We got a vaporizer going in here.
Ooh, like a little hospital ward going on in the newsroom.
And he had an accident a little earlier.
I got a bloody nose earlier today.
Did you really?
Yeah. So
between Andy's bloody nose and my sinus problems.
What happened? Did the bloody nose just start by itself?
Yeah, it just kind of happened. It's a little dry in here. And so I went. Luckily, I was in the restroom here when it happened. And I was walking down the hall with a wad of Kleenex up my nose. And Shawnee said, "You better hope that clears up before your next sports cast. Because you're going to, you know, you would naturally inquire why I had a piece of Kleenex up my nose during a sports cast.
Yeah. I might have asked
that. Was a pretty big piece of Kleenex.
Yeah, it was, it was
nice
large.
To know Shawnee that he sees you bleeding in the hallway, and his number one concern is, you better be ready for your next sports cast.
Yeah, exactly right. He did ask me if I wanted him to do the sports cast.
Pressed into service, I would be here.
He was very gentlemanly in that respect. But
you sure that Shawnee didn't punch you in the nose?
Well, I think he really wanted to do the sports cast and was trying to get me out of the way.
Right. I will have my chance because noon and 12:30.
Shawnee just accidentally slammed the door in my face again.
It's like, oh, man. Good uppercut, too, by the way.
Oh, you too.
Yeah, it's like a calamity going on in here, you know, the little sports booth and the newsroom. Yeah, there's an epidemic of something going on.
I'm working at Northwestern Hospital here today.
This is the ER. This is not the newsroom. This is the ER.
It's W-E-R. G-N.
W-E-R.
Today. Well, I hope you're both feeling better.
Oh, I'm fine
We'll
now.
Be fine.
Yeah. Stay
we'll
away from
fine.
Me both, will you, please?
Well, I don't think bloody noses are contagious.
Just disgusting.
Yes. Yeah. And stubborn if they don't quit.
Oh, annoying.
Shawnee, you being a Hoosier, originally native, Hoosier, are you familiar at all with the mayor of South Bend, Indiana?
A little bit. Pete, the fact that he's running for president.
Pete Buttigieg, is that how
That's
you say
pretty
that?
Close,
Buttigieg?
Yes.
Buttigieg, Buttigieg?
Buttigieg. Yeah.
I saw him on Bill Maher on Friday night, and I saw him in another interview yesterday. I forget where I saw it, but I've seen two. I didn't really know that much about him. I heard that the mayor of South Bend was running for president. I didn't really know anything about him. And then I heard him speak, and wow, I was really impressed with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's going to have their own opinion. Everyone's going to have their own candidate. But, you know, he's a pretty young guy. I think he's like 30s.
He's in his 30s.
Something like that.
Yeah, he's in his mid-30s. It certainly has brought a lot of attention to South Bend and Northern Indiana as a result of his campaign.
Well, you know, that's what I sort of bring it up for a couple of reasons. I'm certainly not promoting anyone's candidacy, and I don't know that much about his policies to even say that I would support him, but... I didn't know that he is ex-military.
Yes.
I didn't know, you know, you think a young mayor from South Bend, you know, is rather a centrist on things. Very logical. We're talking, I thought, extremely logically on things. I know we have a lot of listeners in that area who might be more familiar with him. I wonder how, you know, people in that area view him. You know, how, you know, before he gets on this national stage, which he's about to be propelled into, if he isn't already, you know, how the people in his area, in the Indiana area in South Bend, and people who might be familiar with him in, you know, the Hoosier state, how they have perceived him so far based on his actions. Because, you know, what I've... heard the interview with him with Bill Maher, who was being a little bit contemptuous with him and really kind of confrontational with him on many objects, held his own, very cool, very calm, very rational. It's a presidential candidate that, you know, if you're, you know, of you know, if you're a Democrat, you know, you might be interested in. I know, you know, for a lot of people, you know, you're strictly Republican, you're strictly conservative, of no interest to you with that. But I think, you know, to be able to understand who all the candidates are, whoever they happen to be, that's how you make informed decisions.
Did he talk at all about the prospect that Joe Biden might jump into the race before too long?
I didn't hear him talk about that. Didn't hear him talk about Joe Biden, but I found very interesting the story that you had in the news about Joe Biden with regard to it was an allegation that someone has made that he may have acted inappropriately.
Right. Lucy Flores, who is a Nevada politician, said that he was a little made her a little uncomfortable during a campaign appearance before she took the stage. Quoting her and looking at the story that I have here, Ms. Flores said that the vice president was touching her and smelling her hair.
Hmm.
And Biden has said that he doesn't recall the incident and that he never, you know, would do anything remotely like that nature, but added that she has the right to share her own recollection and reflections
right.
On the incident.
The in fact, this just very coincidentally just popped up on my phone. Biden responds to Lucy Flores. You know, this may be what you had here, but it says that the former vice president said, "My many years on the campaign trail and in public life, I have offered countless handshakes, hugs, expressions of affection, support, and comfort, and not once, never did I believe I acted inappropriately."
Improperly, yeah.
Yeah, inappropriately was the word that he used, but same thing. If it is suggested I did so, I will listen respectfully, but this was never my intention. So those are that's the accusation and also the response to the accusation about President Vice President Vice President Biden and whether or not he's going to get into the race. And most people seem to think that that is going to happen.
He had a slip of the tongue a couple weeks ago, if you remember, making a campaign speech that he was the most progressive of any candidate running, and then he caught himself saying
that he hasn't
right, that may be in the race. So a slip of the tongue from Vice President Biden.
Right. How many people on the Democratic side have announced so far? 437?
439.
439, exactly. Okay.
That number will rise as before the day is over.
Here's the 630 area code that says Mayor Pete. I guess that's what most people call him, right? The Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
Pete's a lot easier.
Mayor Pete is a lot easier, right. 630 area code saying Mayor Pete was really impressive because he actually spoke to questions, to the questions asked, rather than just launching into a campaign speech. Don't you hate that? During CNN's been doing a lot of forums, candidate forums, and you know we've had these mayoral debates that are going on where the candidates are asked specific questions, both the candidates for president and these mayoral debates that have been going on where they're asked specific questions. They ignore the questions and they just go into their campaign stump speech. Maybe that's what impressed me so much about Mayor Joe, that he, or Mayor Pete, rather, he actually did, you know, respond to questions and responded in a way that I thought was, you know, very intelligent. If anybody is from that area, I know we get texts and emails all the time from the South Bend area. Anybody wants to chime in and offer, you know, a little bit of insight into him? Mayor Pete would love to hear that. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. A quick break and we'll carry on here. 1122, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Our morning on the WGN-TV morning news. We'll be talking with Salma Hayek about her brand new movie that she's got out. And even more, we talked about the movie, but we also talked about her being a working mom that I think is will be extremely relatable to many who are, you know, trying to juggle a lot of things at one time. Lots of working moms, I think, will be able to work to that or relate to that. That'll be tomorrow morning on the WGN-TV Morning News, along with, oh, you know what else we have tomorrow? We had Robert Schmeigel, comedian Robert Schmeigel, with us on the show the other day. He's an enormous fan of Bozo Circus. He lived in Chicago in the 1980s. He became a little bit obsessed with the Bozo show back then. And I wanted to play our grand prize game, the bucket game. So he got to play it. We videotaped it. And it's kind of hilarious. So Robert Schmeigel in the grand prize game tomorrow, and also an appearance from his most famous character, Triumph the Insult Comic Dog. That's all tomorrow morning for you on Chicago's number one TV morning news, the WGN TV morning news. Some interesting thoughts and comments about just talking about presidential candidates this morning. I was talking about South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg, and people are calling in and commenting about him. 630 area code says the best candidate is Yang. Hang with Yang 2020, it says. And that's Andrew Yang, another very young Democratic candidate for mayor who is offering some new and interesting ideas. Several people are, sending in a text today supporting President Trump for re-election. Everyone, is entitled to their choice and opinions. Because, some people texting in Make America Great Again. I imagine that that probably is a vote of support for the president's re-election. I haven't seen anything about Bernie. That's kind of interesting on our text line. And a couple of people commenting about Vice President Biden, talking about his age and, some other interesting things that, where people's heads are at right now with regard to the presidential election. It's right around the corner. It's just a matter of time till we start getting really bombarded with all of this. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get into our A-list interviews this morning. Danny DeVito, Colin Farrell, next on WGN. A couple of points texted into us, and we appreciate. We're talking about Chicago elections. Don't forget to vote if you live in the city of Chicago. There are suburban elections also.
There are suburban elections and also some in various counties around Illinois.
Yeah. So, if your area is one that's having elections, make sure that you exercise your right to vote with that. A couple of many different pronunciations coming for Mayor Pete
in South Bend.
The good old Mayor Pete in South Bend, as I will call him from now on. Buttigieg, apparently. I guess that seems to be the most common.
That seems to be the prevalent one.
Right. Yeah. Pete Buttigieg, right?
There you go.
Buttigieg? Does
Buttigieg.
That sound right?
Buttigieg, yeah.
You're the one from Indiana. Come on.
Well,
you know the Buttigieg family from Indiana?
I was in Indiana before he was born. If he's 30-something now, I was there before Mayor Pete was around.
And so. This is Vicky from Mishawaka. You ever been to Mishawaka, Shawnee?
Oh, yeah, sure I have.
Lovely, lovely Mishawaka, which is, if I'm remembering correctly, Vicky, it's adjacent to South Bend, right?
Yeah, they're just, you can't tell when you're in one or the other.
Yeah, they're sort of like, I don't know if Twin Cities is exactly.
Minneapolis, St. Paul or something like that.
Yeah, they're pretty much one and the same. And I was asking, if people from that area, have any Mayor Pete, impressions from even before he decided to run for president. I was just kind of curious what people in that area thought of him.
Well, I am a big fan of his, and he has, a terrific ability with the piano. He played the Gershwin Rhapsody in Blue with the South Bend Symphony as a solo pianist.
Okay.
And then he was called up, his unit was called up while he was mayor in the National Guard, and he went to, I believe, Afghanistan.
Right. That's what I understand also from reading his bio that that he did go to South Bend. Here is the 574 area code texted in. I live 20 miles from South Bend. I've watched him for years. The difference that he's made to the downtown of the city is beyond right. impressive.
Yeah.
New construction, renovation, social programs. There is none out there like him, says this texter. So
right. He's one of those people that just really dives in and makes a difference. And last fall, I did a lot of canvassing for Senator Joe Donnelly and Mel Hall, and Mayor Pete came down to the office and gave us a pep talk. And so I was standing like 5 feet away from him. I mean, he was just very present and impressive and eloquent. But he doesn't get all stuffy.
He doesn't want to get all what? Stuffy. I see what you mean. Yeah. Well, somebody else pointed that out in the text earlier, that he speaks directly to questions that he's asked and doesn't divert with stump speeches like, you know, 99% of the candidates do, you know, to
exactly. I don't know if you saw him on the CNN forum.
Maybe that's where I saw him. Was that yesterday?
Well, the CNN forum was a couple weeks ago, and he was on for a whole hour.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't see that a couple of weeks ago. I saw him with Bill Maher on Friday night, and I saw him someplace yesterday. That's what I mean. Like, both times, I was like, who is this guy? You know, I just didn't, I never really paid attention because so many people are getting into the Democratic, the race.
Right.
It's like, well, I'm going to let the herd thin out a little bit before I start paying attention. But it's,
He's in the thinned herd.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's going to, I'd like to learn more about him. I mean, you know, on first glance, I have to say, I was like, wow, who is this guy? Very impressive.
Right, but I believe he was a Rhodes Scholar as well.
Right. Okay, well, I didn't know that. So, yeah, I want to learn more. You know, we all should learn more about, you know, the people who we're supporting. People have been texting in their support for, you know, all across the board. And I hope people are, you know, learning about the candidates and whether or not they're really, voting in their interests, because 2020 is right around the corner. So
it is so right around the corner. And I've been taking a poll. Like, I have this little, I just ask everybody I meet, I say, okay, who are you thinking about for 2020? Well, around here, 100% Mayor Pete.
Not surprising. People People seem to really like him. Yeah. Well, you know, now that I know about his piano playing skills.
And also, he speaks 7 languages.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
I would like to see all the candidates get on the CNN stage and each do like a talent contest. Like they have with Miss America.
Right.
Each of them, well, someone plays the trumpet, somebody else tap dances, somebody plays the piano. That's how we should elect our next president.
There we go.
Vicki, I appreciate your call and your local insight on that. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Take
that.
Care.
You too. Thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, let's get into our A-list interviews today. The stars, two of the stars of what's turned out to be the number one movie in America for this weekend, Disney's Dumbo. That's next on WGN. It's the time. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Number one movie of the weekend turns out to be the not-so-well-reviewed Dumbo. Rotten Tomatoes giving it about a 50% approval rate by critics nationwide. That's probably a lot lower than the reaction that I've been getting from viewers just about every week. You know, I review movies on Friday and then pretty much for the whole weekend. And then for the week that follows that, people tell me, oh, I really agreed with you. Oh, you couldn't be more wrong about a movie. You know, I hear it all every week. And this one has been pretty much half and half, I guess. People agreeing with my review of the movie, that it was a little bit flat, not terribly dimensional, not anywhere close to the movie that the animated version of Dumbo was that came out in 1941 that we all grew up with. But even without comparing to the old movie, just felt kind of flat. Felt like a shell of a Tim Burton movie to me. I have to say that I have not really enjoyed Tim Burton movies for a very long time. I wound up giving it a Dean's List D. I really didn't care for it that much. I did enjoy my conversations, though, with the stars of the movie, which include Colin Farrell. We'll get to that in a second. But also Danny DeVito. This was a couple of weeks ago now that we sat and talked with him. This was just a few days after Danny DeVito was walking up on a stage to promote the movie, and he fell walking up the stairs. And that's where we started off our conversation with Danny DeVito. Good to see you, man.
Nice to see you, too.
First of all, we saw that video of you falling.
Oh, yeah.
And we were worried.
Well, I always throw myself at the press.
You have never thrown yourself at me that way through the years.
Foot on the top of the step. I was in Mexico. It was a great experience. I had a great time down there. We're promoting Dumbo, and as they call it, Dumbo. And there were like at least 100 and some odd people in the room. Everybody's camera's going.
Right.
And I try to act like Dumbo. Yeah. So I'm okay. I didn't hurt myself at all. I just wanted to check myself. I got up slow.
Yeah.
And, of course, I said, don't print the picture, which I knew everybody would print.
Of course. But, of course.
Anyway, it's like, it was, I'm fine.
Well, that's the main thing. We were concerned. And I thought, you know, some guys will do anything to.
Anything for a little PR. Sam Rosenfield always tells me, plug the movie.
Plug the movie.
Okay. So
however it works.
Don't try to emulate the star.
Yeah, yeah. What do you remember from the original Dumbo?
The original, the 63-minute movie that was made like in 41, I think. And,
right.
So my sisters took me to see it when it came back. I lived in Asbury. We had little bunch of movie theaters in the Jersey Shore town, and I think the first time I saw it was on the big screen. It was like a, because it was so. Short in 63 an hour movie,
right?
They brought it back quite a bit,
right?
And then when, of course, my kids, I have three kids, I showed it to them, and the thing that I remember most about it was the heartfelt feeling of that oddity being looked at as a different kind of creature.
Yeah. Who couldn't relate to that, right?
I always felt that way. Yeah. I walk into a room, I always felt like, I was an odd ball creature. I was a little, kind of curmudgeon-y kind of guy, even as a teenager. And I always felt like very close to Dumbo.
Yeah.
And, now that I've seen Tim's version, Disney's new Dumbo, the great thing about it is it's preserved all of those great values,
right?
And you put it in the hands of an artist like Tim,
right?
And what you get is this incredible rendition of this magical story.
Well, this story that you're talking about in these days of bullying that are, maybe even more relevant than ever before. But as you say, in the hands of Tim Burton, who, I mean, for you, it must be a really special experience because you love Tim Burton, it seems, and he sure loves to put you in his movies.
Yeah, I love him. And we have a really good time together. Batman was an experience. Batman Returns. And I'm working with Michael Keaton again, which is a great thing to do. He's a good buddy. The whole thing of Tim is that you feel like you're I'm a filmmaker, I'm an actor, I'm a producer. Or you feel like you're in the hands of the true artist, Tim. So you watch him work, and it's amazing. And I've done it on Batman Returns, on Big Fish, on Mars Attacks, and now here again on Dumbo.
I got to ask you about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes.
That, after all these years now, that is still a funny show.
We have a good time.
So good.
I think there's really some value, something to be said in the factor of having like really good people to work with. I work with my friends a lot. I've worked with Tim like now 5 times. I've worked these guys at Sunny, Glenn and Charlie Rob and Caitlin are just the sweetest people you ever want to work with. And I think there's a big factor in that. They work hard. They put it all up there. They never let you down. And they're good to be around.
You guys still playing practical jokes on each other all the time?
We do.
Yeah.
We do. Whenever we can. I mean, they're always making fun of me. And throw me out of windows.
No respect.
The great Danny DeVito, and also his co-star in the movie Dumbo, is Colin Farrell. We know mostly from dramatic roles. I guess, in this one, in Dumbo, it's a, semi-dramatic role with him, although lots of animation. His first time working with director Tim Burton. When we talked a few weeks ago, it was just before St. Patrick's Day.
And he talked a little St. Patrick's Day and knew a little about what we do here in Chicago for the occasion. It's almost St. Patrick's Day in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It gets green, doesn't it? We're getting a little green.
The river gets murky.
What does that mean to you? I mean, St. Patrick's Day in Ireland is different than it is
here. Yeah, I mean, it's just a more... For me, personally, it's just a more overt nod of the head to where I'm from, and I'll probably end up just thinking a little bit about my hometown, my home country, a little bit more than I usually would.
Yeah.
I'm caught up in the engagement of life.
Yeah. When you see people wearing green and drinking green beer and, like, going crazy, is that...
I never heard of a green beer until I came to America.
We don't do it at home. Yeah, that's... So it's, do the Irish sort of laugh at our... Like how crazy we get?
No, it depends. No, I don't think we'd pay much attention, to be honest with you. But we certainly wouldn't be judging from on high. There's no doubt that many Irish people would be in America. I don't know if they'd be drinking green beer, but they'll be caught up in the festivities.
Yeah, for sure.
Any excuse.
Congratulations on this.
Thanks, man.
Did you grow up with the original?
No, I didn't. I never saw the original until this film came about.
Huh.
I grew up on Jungle Book was a big one for me. Lady and the Tramp. 101 Dalmatians, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I hadn't seen this, but when I saw it, I was moved by it. It's beautiful, but it's very dark, the original animation. Which, this has elements of darkness as well in it as well. There's elements of cruelty and meanness. There's a meanness at times in this, and how Dumbo's treated, of course, by the crowd, or by Michael Keaton's character, V.A. Vanderveer. There's a callousness and a greed that is existent through the second half of this film that is kind of a counterpoint for Dumbo finding out who he is.
That really sort of fits with what's going on in the world right now,
sure,
right?
Yeah, there's many allegorical components to the film, absolutely. I mean, essentially at its core, the whole story, really, pardon the pun, is allowed to take flight because a child is separated from his mother against, obviously, the wishes of both, you know? Without getting too heavy, you could draw the other.
Yeah, I think this was your first time working with Tim Burton, right?
What's that like? Beautiful.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
I loved working with him. He's just obviously got one of the more potent imaginations I've ever been around, and is such an extraordinary visual artist as well. But so engaged with the story, and he was very aware while doing this of it not being too saccharine, not being too sweet. I mean, at its core, it's a very sweet story, so he knew that it inherently was a very sweet story, and wanted to be aware that we didn't play into that sweetness too much. But so engaged with the whole process. Yeah. So, I mean, I'd watch him sometimes watching a scene behind the monitor, and he'd be.
So into it like that.
Beautiful to see. I love to work with him.
Yeah. Well, this was a pretty heavily effects-laden film. I mean, obviously Dumbo, but all the other elephants, everything, I guess, was CG in this movie, as was your half arm in this, and losing that. What's that like for you to do these kinds of...
I mean, it was fine. You know, the film, again... I mean, in trying to realize what the tone of the film is, you know, it's not a kitchen sink drama. So we're not going into the details of the psychological consequences of losing a limb. You know, it's not what the film is about, but it is one of the many factors that has Holt, the character I played, kind of feel separate from the experience of his life, feel like an outsider. He literally comes back from the first war, you know, not the same man physically, emotionally, mentally that he was.
Yeah.
He's also dealing with being a widower since he left, his wife has died, etc. So there's a lot of things, but the arm thing is up.
You know, this may be the first time of the many, many times that I've talked with you, the first time that you weren't smoking, and we're not going to have to do one F-bomb edit.
Oh, yeah?
In this. That used to be my favorite thing when I would talk to you.
Those were the days.
Count the F-bombs. Guess the number of F-bombs back in the day. Too lazy.
Too much effort.
There's Colin Farrell talking Dumbo, talking about St. Patrick's Day. Dumbo, the number one movie in America, followed by Us and Captain Marvel are your top three movies this past weekend. A quick break. When you go to the ball game, Schwani, what's your go-to food when you're at the ballpark?
A brat. A beer and a brat.
You go for a beer and a brat.
Yep.
Interesting.
Beer and a brat.
Interesting.
Yep.
Or
a hot dog.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So traditional ballpark food.
Well, very much so. Yeah.
I guess I'm sort of that way as well, though I have been expanding my horizons a little bit over the last couple of years. But this is
I was going to try steak tartare, but I didn't see it on the menu.
At the ballpark? Yeah. Wow, you're way more courageous than I am. Steak tartare. Work that into your take me out steak to the ball tartare. Game song. Buy me some peanuts and steak tartare.
Hey, it fits.
That's right.
I don't care if we get very far.
I start off with peanuts. That's my
sure.
It's my go-to thing. Yeah. I love. I get a beer and some peanuts, and then as the afternoon or you know whatever evening progresses, more beer, and then after that maybe more beer. After that, no, it's like peanuts and hot dogs for me, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. Traditional. Ballpark food for you,
the most part. For the most part, but you know, a lot of these places now pull pork and a lot of other things that sound fantastic and delicious. So, and every year, both of our ballparks on the north and south sides, you know, have new items on the menu, and that's what we're going to get in here today. And we're going to start off on the north side with David Burns, who is in charge of the food service at Wrigley Field, or the campus, as
the
it's
campus,
called.
The campus, yes.
As it's
We've
called.
Gotten so large.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, I oversee not only just Wrigley Field, the ballpark itself. We have the American Airlines Conference Center. We have Gallagher's Way, DraftKings.
All of the food services
yes.
that at the ballpark, but because I know now it's somewhat expanded to across the street and you know different places now that may or may not be included. I don't know.
No, it's more inside the ballpark and just outside the perimeter, not really across the street or anything.
Right. So for how long have you been doing this now, David?
I'm going on my 13th opening day.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
You don't look old enough to be, have been doing this for 13 years.
Well, when you have fun, you keep young.
Yeah, I guess when you enjoy your work, right?
Yeah.
So before we talk about some of the things that are new, talk to me about the amazing amount of food that you must process on a given day. You know, on a game day, I'm always amazed. For example, like how many hot dogs do you go through on a game day?
On a game day, we can average about 20,000 hot dogs.
Holy smokes!
Yeah,
wow.
You know, like 10,000 brats, pretzels are up there, like another 10,000. Nachos is another popular one, about 10,000-15,000.
Yeah, are those the most popular?
Yeah, that's
items
like
that you sell.
Yeah, the hot dog, obviously, the pretzel, the nachos. Those are fan favorites that people really like.
Right. And then just like regular menu things when you go to concessions. Burgers, are those?
Burgers are popular, too. We have different varieties of burgers. The fresh patty in-house. We just have a regular cheeseburger. We have what we call a W burger, which has a little bit more stuff on it, like American cheese, our Wrigley sauce, lettuce, tomato, that's served with fries. We have an aged cheddar burger with the white aged cheddar cheese, some baby arugula, roasted garlic aioli. So it kind of elevates from, you know, your simple burger to a more gourmet burger.
Right, something. And that's so popular now that
yes.
gourmet burgers are, you know, maybe the hottest food item that there can be right now. What is Wrigley sauce?
Wrigley sauce is basically like a ketchup, mayonnaise, aioli base with a little bit of mustard, a little bit of buffalo sauce in it to give it a zing. So it's kind of our little concoction of a sauce that goes great with that burger.
So are you constantly looking for new items that you can put on the menu and debut when the new season begins?
Well, yeah, that's kind of what we do when our season's over, or even beginning before that, we start brainstorming as a team and what's the trends. We work with some of our analytic department within Levy and what follows the trends, and we try to create, you know, items that, you know, people are looking to have now. So
what are the things that you're most excited about now for the 2019 season?
2019, we have a lot of cool offerings. You know, we're starting to bring a lot of locally sourced focus to Wrigley Field, from fresh ingredients to dishes highlighting some of the best chefs. So, I mean, we came up with some really cool items. Pork tenders with the Japanese barbecue sauce. So it's hand breaded in-house, served crispy with a little Japanese barbecue sauce, a little bit of cabbage and carrot sauce.
Is it like a panko?
Yeah, it's a panko,
chicken nugget, I guess,
yeah,
for lack
kinda,
of a
it looks
better
like
word.
A chicken tender, but it's, you know, it's more, it's pork.
A little so more sophisticated. Oh, right. That's right.
So we bread it with panko. That dish was kind of came about. We have the same pork on a sandwich. But it tasted so good, we felt that it, you know, can have something by itself just right. with the dipping sauce.
Right. So how is that sold? Like in a, you know, because you have to not only come up with these foods, but make sure that they're foods that can be eaten while you're sitting and watching the game. Essentially, finger food, I guess.
Exactly.
Right?
It's a great point you brought up. When we do create these items, we have to keep that in mind. Like, can they hold this with one hand while they're watching a game where they have a beverage in the other? So, yeah, it's on a little tray. It's easy to dip. Great to share with other fans or friends.
All right. I see something on the list here that says short rib disco fries.
Yes. This is
you had me at disco.
So the disco fries, it's French fries with house-made braised beef short ribs, some queso fresco. That's kind of where your disco fries come in, because the difference between disco fries and poutine, poutine has cheese curds.
Yeah.
Disco fries is more of a melted cheese on it.
Okay.
So with the queso fresco and the heat of the sauce, it kind of melts on. So we just do a little bit of roasted garlic aioli on that and some green onions. It's fantastic.
That sounds really good. I'm just going for the things with funny names here. A walking taco is one of your new items for the year, right?
Yeah, walking taco. What we're going to debut this year on the upper deck are two nacho areas. So you'll have your regular nacho, like a nacho grande, and we thought it'd be fun to debut a walking taco. It's popular, you know, it's a ballpark, let's have fun. So it's going to be a bag filled with some Fritos, some chili, some cheese, some, you know, house-made pico de gallo and jalapenos. Nice. You know, put a, you know, take the top off, put a fork in it, and walk away.
That's
with
sort
it.
Of like a deconstructed taco, isn't
pretty
it?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. So it's
all
it's
in a Frito bag.
Yeah.
That's such a good idea. What is the Impossible Burger?
So the Impossible Burger is a new item that we're going to have on our menu, and it's basically a plant-based patty. You know, it has a product in it called hemé, which is a plant protein that kind of gives the smell of beef.
Hmm.
So it looks and tastes almost like beef, but it's all plant-based. So it's just another vegetarian item that we like to offer.
Right.
You know, so we top that off with a little bit of chipotle aioli, you know, lettuce, tomato on a brioche bun. So we have another option for vegetarians as well as people that love meat and just want a little break from it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I would guess it would be something a little different. Is there a big demand for that of more vegetarian items at the ballpark?
Vegetarian, gluten free,
really?
The new diets, keto diet. Yeah, it's a lot of. We try to accommodate all the fans that are coming in that there's something there for them to eat.
So if somebody came up to the counter and said, "I'm gluten free," what do you have?
What do you have? And then in certain areas, we'll have gluten-free bread ready for them, and we'll make something, you know, their sandwich fresh with the
bread. Right, because they can have a hot dog or burger or whatever, but have a gluten-free items. And what about beer options? I know, you know, throughout the park, it's Budweiser, right? That you're
for the most part
you're selling, but you've gone, like, so many people are so interested in craft beers and things now. You have expanded the variety of beers that you're going to be selling.
Yeah, so this year our beer list has really expanded with locally craft beers. You know, you'll have your Goose Island, the variety of the Goose Islands. We'll have some Lagunitas, the Three Floyds, Half Acre, Beguile. So, I mean, the list goes, it's quite extensive compared to, like, the last few years. And again, it's listening to fans and what their likes are. And a lot of it, you know, they want craft beers.
Yeah, one of the other things that I noticed on the list that you sent over of things that are new are some real Chicago favorites that you're offering at the ballpark this year, including Garrett's popcorn and many other, like, really signature Chicago items.
Yeah, again, we like to kind of really stay local. You know, we have Vienna for the hot dogs, Giordano's for a small pan pizza, Garrett's popcorn, both their buttery and their famous Garrett's mix, Bona beef, Italian beef and sausage, so we try to keep as much local as we can.
Those are some good choices. And I noticed Fannie Mae chocolate
as Fannie Mae as well. Yeah.
The list, don't forget that. It sounds great. Is this the quiet before the storm for you right now, before opening day? Or is it really just all the preparation of getting everything ready for next week?
It's all the preparation. We're pretty much finishing up our last phase of the major renovation. So, you know, the ballpark's still got some construction going on. So, so we're having, you know, all our concession stands will be new when we open up the upper deck. So right now we're kind of just focusing on trainings in some of the new areas and then get ready for opening day, which is going to be, like, here tomorrow, it seems like.
Crazy. Yeah. Right. I'm sure it's going to be, just feels like right around the corner to you. David Burns is in charge of the campus, all the food at Wrigley Field. And I appreciate you coming in today to bring us all up to date on this.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right, coming up, we've got White Sox baseball for you here on WGN. We'll update news. And right now, we want to bring into the conversation Jennifer Cribbs, who is the concessions manager for Delaware North Sports Service. That means she's the concessions manager for your Chicago White Sox and is responsible for all the food at Guaranteed Rate Field. Jennifer, welcome to WGN. Nice to have you on with us.
Hi, Dean. Thanks for having me. Getting excited here.
So I always kind of feel a little bit bad when we do this segment every year, finding out what's new at the ballparks, because I know you guys are, it would be like talking to an accountant on April 14th.
Right.
The day before tax day. You guys, your absolutely busiest time of year, and Dean is bothering you to, join us to talk about what's new at the ballparks. Are you guys, what's the state of preparation right now as you get ready for opening day this coming week?
Well, first off, I appreciate that you recognize that, because sometimes I don't think folks do. We started our planning in January. I'd say 8 years ago when I came over to the White Sox, there was an off season, and now we come out of the gates right after the holidays looking for, all right, what do we want to do that's new and exciting, and what can we bring to our fans to make them want to come out to the ballpark?
So in terms of the staples, the most popular foods, we were just talking with David about what they sell up at Wrigley Field. I got to think that it's, probably about the same at most ballparks. What are your most popular food items at Guaranteed Rate?
Honestly, my favorite item is the Vienna beef dog right off the grill with easy, well-done onions. Mm. And I think that we do it so well here. And again, yes, you're right, that's a staple. Also, our Comiskey burger has become one of my favorite items. We created that about 5 years ago. And two burger patties with Merck's cheese, and then what we named a Chi-Town Pico. It's all the toppings of a Chicago-style hot dog that
really?
We chop up and make into a relish.
Wow. I can imagine that's quite delicious.
Right. So that's been a fan favorite, as well as our Cuban sandwich and our elotes. I think people seek those items out when they come to Guaranteed Rate Field.
So the Cuban sandwiches are like a sort of a panini style sandwich that you'd find, like Cuban restaurants and places like that. Is it like ham and...
So yeah, the sliced ham, and then we have some shredded pork, mojo sauce, Swiss cheese, and then it is like panini style, grilled on the, pressed on the grill.
Right.
We've had a few others. So Delaware North runs concessions at 11 other Major League Baseball stadiums, and we've had some of our counterparts actually borrow and take that dish from us because it's so good.
Yeah, it does sound fantastic. And when you say that elotes have also become one of your favorite, is that that's Mexican-style corn, I think, right?
Correct. So corn right off the cob. They take the corn, they shuck it right there, slice the corn off, and then you can dress it how you like it. I like it with everything.
Right. It's sliced off the cob and put into a cup. Is that correct?
Yeah, right into like a dish.
And sometimes you put like what would be like a sour cream or chili powder.
So it's actually mayonnaise.
Oh, it's mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
So mayonnaise, a little spray of lime, chili pepper, and butter.
Of all the things that you mentioned, and they all sound quite delicious, that actually might be my favorite of the whole bunch.
Have you had our elotes yet?
I haven't had your elotes, but I've made them myself, and I've served them, like barbecue, backyard get-togethers and things like that, where I grill up the corn, slice it off, and I put them in, like fancy cups or glasses or, you know, something like that, and put all the toppings on the table, and people can, you know, fix them up for themselves. You know, the delicious roasted corn, there's nothing better than that in my book.
No, especially in the summer.
Especially in the summertime. Really, it's actually perfect, kind of perfect ballpark food, really. What are the most popular things that you sell? Hot dogs? Is that number one at Guaranteed Rate Field?
It is, absolutely. Our Vienna beef, all beef dog is the top dog, pun intended, that we sell here.
And after that, does it go like pretzels? What, how, you know, what did he just say at Wrigley Field?
Yeah, I'd say the pretzels and popcorn are staples. Delaware North was founded on popcorn. Okay. So, and also I'll say we now have a new sponsor with Garrett's, and we're excited to bring them on.
Oh, people are going to have those orange fingers out there at the Garrett's at all the ballparks.
Yeah, and, you know, besides food and beverage, I always think a new fun souvenir item is a must. And this year we're doing a souvenir popcorn bucket. So it was designed by the White Sox design team. Awesome graphics, and so you could bring it home with you and use your White Sox popcorn bucket when you make popcorn at home.
Good deal. Let me take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the new items that you're offering for 2019. Jennifer Cribbs, concessions manager at Guaranteed Rate Field, on the line with us. We'll be right back. It's Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN, getting ready for a quick news update, and then the Sox taking on the Royals. Today, Andy Mazur will have your pregame coming up in just a couple of minutes. Jennifer Cribbs is on with us, the concessions manager from Guaranteed Rate Field, talking about the new food items of the year. So, Jennifer, what are you most excited about now for 2019?
Well, a couple new dishes we're really excited about. First off, we took one of our concession stands in the 109-110 section and completely revamped it, gutted it, and we're going to do a loaded French fry menu. We have 8 different options for the loaded fries. And that was fun the last few months, coming up with the different recipes and taste testing lots of fries.
I'm seeing on the list here a chili and cheese fry, dusted French fries, Greek fries, Irish fries. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Irish fries? Greek fries, I assume, must be feta cheese and the tzatziki sauce, maybe?
Yes, feta cheese, tzatziki, and some gyro meat, finished off with some tomatoes. And actually, the first part of that dish, we dust the fries in this lemon seasoning. So those are one of probably like top 4 of our 10, 15 new items we're bringing on.
Okay, everything sounds fairly self-explanatory, but what are Irish fries?
Well, so the Irish nachos, that was been one of our very favorite popular dishes the last few years here, and that was French fries covered with nacho cheese, bacon, sour cream, and chives. And it was the popularity of that item that led us to think, you know, let's come up with a few new smothered and covered options. And, I mean, you can't go wrong with chili cheese. I'll never forget the first time I had chili cheese fries at Mayfair Mall in Milwaukee, and I've seen that as a trend in the last few weeks here, actually, right. the meat and cheese fries, and I feel like we're right on trend there.
Right on trend with it. Talk to me about the Polish platter that's new for 2019.
Okay, so I like to feel like coming out to Guaranteed Rate Field is like going to a mini Taste of Chicago. You know, we have all the neighborhoods and the cultures represented, and this is our homage here to the Polish. And again, we've sold pierogies for the last 3 or 4 years, and year after year we saw how just wildly successful they were, sure. and we were selling more and more year after year. So we thought, let's designate a location, and came up with the Polish platter. That's a half-pound Vienna beef Polish kielbasa, and that's served with your choice of loaded baked potato pierogies or onion pierogies.
Wow, that sounds good. That sounds good, and you know, perfect for ballpark eating as well. I'm gonna rush you along here to a couple of other items because we have to get, ironically enough, to the White Sox game in a second.
Great,
but you've got what's called the Asian appetizer duo, the Impossible Asian appetizer duo. What is that, quickly?
So that actually is going to be served in the Diamond Suites location. That's a item from Levy, who is our counterpart here. That is pan-fried pot stickers with ginger, scallions, cabbage. Excuse me, Dean.
Yeah, right. With
some soy chili dipping sauce.
Okay.
And there's also spring rolls with snap of cabbage, green onions, ginger, jalapeno marmalade, and a Chinese hot mustard sauce.
Wow, that's a long way from my hot dog and peanuts, I'll tell you that much.
Absolutely. Every year we're trying to, you know, outdo each other with who can come up with the craziest item.
Absolutely, I get it. I see fire roasted Brussels sprouts on here. I see turkey and brie. Just all kinds of things that are new and different, and they sound delicious. Bacon popcorn sounds fantastic, all at guaranteed rate field this year, not to mention your new partnership with Antique Taco as well. We appreciate you joining us today, Jennifer, and we hope you have a great opening day this year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us. We've got Andy Mazur coming up with our White Sox pregame show coming up in just a couple of minutes. The Sox taking on the Royals today, and Andy will have the pregame for that after we take a check of our WGN News at 12:34, sponsored by Design First Builders. And with the latest, here is Dave Schwann.
Police looking for the person involved shooting five people, one fatally, around 3 o'clock this morning in the East Garfield Park neighborhood. The five were standing on the sidewalk when someone approached them and began shooting. No suspects in custody. Britain's government considering yet another vote on Prime Minister Theresa May's thrice-rejected plan for leaving the European Union. They have 2 weeks. Politicians have to put aside their differences and engineer some kind of a delay in the process of leaving the European Union. 14 people rescued as a massive overnight fire destroyed a 62-unit apartment building in the Milwaukee area early yesterday. It was at the White Oaks apartment in Bayside, just north of Milwaukee. 3 people with minor injuries. We will check sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
Lou Manfredini here, and this House Smarts Minute is sponsored by Design First Builders, remodeling homes and building relationships. When's the last time you cleaned your garbage and recycling bins? They might be used for waste, but they need a little TLC too. Take your empty bins outside and squirt some dish soap into the bottom. Use a sprayer attached to the garden hose to pressure wash the inside. Rinse and repeat if needed. This will freshen things up, and I promise you, your garbage collector will thank you too. More information at HouseSmartsTV.com. And now this. Want to fall in love with your home all over again? Design First will make that happen. Design First is a custom home remodeler that handles every step of your dream remodeling project, from bathrooms and kitchens to basements and full home additions. Goodbye laminate, hello quartz. So long unfinished basement, hello man cave. Stop by DesignFirstBuilders.com to see a few of the projects that have helped homeowners add value to their home. DesignFirstBuilders.com. Design First Builders, remodeling homes and building relationships.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-700-9159. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-700-9159. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-700-9159. 1-800-700-9159.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
WGN Sports, the White Sox and the Royals. In just a couple minutes here on WGN, Andy Mazur has your pregame at 12:40. First pitch 1:15 with Ed Farmer and Darren Jackson on 720 WGN. Cubs playing Texas tonight. Blackhawks hosting Winnipeg tomorrow. Pregame with Chris Bowden's at 7 o'clock. The faceoff 7:30 with John Weideman and Troy Murray here on 720 WGN and WGNRadio.com. WGN traffic, the biggest problems on the Kennedy. We have stop-and-go traffic inbound between Armitage and the Byrne Interchange, a half hour from O'Hare to downtown. And also on the Eisenhower, we have a 31-minute trip from Route 390 on into the city, the old post office. Stop-and-go traffic inbound between Ogden Avenue and the Byrne Interchange. On the Dan Ryan, a 20-minute trip from 95th to downtown. For personalized traffic on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. It's approved by the mortgage experts of Team Hochberg. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Sunny for this afternoon, a little cool for the season, however. Highs only in the 40s for today, the normal high for March 31st, 53. Partly cloudy, cold overnight, a low near 30. For tomorrow, mostly sunny skies in the morning. Clouds increasing, however, as the day progresses, with a seasonal high near the normal of 53. 32 at O'Hare, 32 at Midway. Schaumburg has 32. And Chicago's Lakefront 30. Warmer weather coming up next week, as a matter of fact. I'm Dave Schwann in the WGN Radio Newsroom, and these are the stories that matter on 720 WGN.
The White Sox. White Sox. Now on 720 WGN.
Trying to avoid the sweep in KC. White Sox pregame starts now.
Play ball!
Swing and a long one. He goes deep. Light it up.
He's pitched a perfect game.
The kid's hit his first home run.
Slam. Sox win. Sox win.
This is Chicago White Sox professional baseball. Now on the WGN Wintrust White Sox Radio Network, it's the Sox pregame show.
More late offense, but it's not enough as the White Sox lose to the Royals 8-6 yesterday. I'm Andy Mazur. Welcome here to White Sox pregame. Glad to have you with us today. Yoan Moncada, a three-hit game and a home run by Eloy Jimenez, collecting his first two big league hits. Jose Abreu also launching a home run, his first of the season. Today, it's Lucas Giolito making the start, his first of the season. Obviously, he'll be opposed by Jorge Lopez for the Royals as the White Sox try to avoid the sweep. Whole lot to get to this afternoon. The Farmer's Market, manager Ricky Renteria, and of course, the pitching matchup, all coming up right here on the WGN White Sox Radio Network.
Flagship salutes the return of Chicago baseball. Join WGN Radio at our White Sox home opener bash. Live from Cork and Kerry at the park. We start roaring opening day Thursday, April 4th at 10 a.m. Bill and Wendy, Steve Bertrand, John Williams, and more. All live from Cork and Kerry at the park. The place to go on game day. Stop in, enjoy a variety of Goose Island beers and the best food in the neighborhood. Baseball's back Thursday, April 4th. And we're live from Cork and Kerry at the park. All the details are WGNRadio.com/events. Proudly sponsored by Goose Island Beer Company. Chicago's here.
Imagine knowing when to get in and when to get out of the financial market before those markets go up or down. Hi, everybody. It's me, Bill F., here for the Online Trading Academy. Now, there's no magic bullet in trading, but the team at Online Trading Academy, with over 100 instructors and over 1,000 years of combined trading experience, can teach you the fundamentals and the disciplines designed to create a positive monthly cash flow. At the Online Trading Academy, they're going to share their proven financial education plan that can literally change your life. How would you like to spend more time with your family? What would an extra income stream mean to you? The Online Trading Academy has an over 95% student satisfaction rating, that from over 170,000 reviews. They offer a disciplined educational path to a better life. Call them today at 833-917-6937 and receive two free passes to attend a free introductory trading class and receive their professional insider's kit for free. Seats go quickly, though, so call them at 833-917-6937. That's 833-917-6937 or visit them online at otaclass.com. That's otaclass.com.
That old car is worth money. Visit victoryautorecords.com for an instant quote. Victory will tow no matter what condition your car's in. Victory buys vehicles every day, including nights and weekends, and you'll get cash on the spot. Go to victoryautorecords.com for more information or save money by fixing up your car with used parts. Go to victoryautorecords.com to search their inventory. victoryautorecords.com.
Victory, AUTO records.com.
White Sox pregame rolling on here from our studios in downtown Chicago. I'm Andy Mazur. Final game of the first series of the year in Kansas City. Coming up in just a few moments, Ed and DJ standing by out at Kauffman Stadium. White Sox hoping to avoid the sweep at the hands of Kansas City. Well, I caught up with Ed Farmer up in the booth before today's game in our first edition of the Farmer's Market this year. Yes, back by popular demand. Focusing today on if Ed had any memories of opening weekends when he was playing.
You know, going back to 1980, and that's how far I have to go back, my friends wanted to go to the All-Star game, and they had quizzed me. They had rehabbed me from rotator cuff surgery, played catch with me to get me back to where I could play catch, and my arm did not hurt. And the All-Star game was at Dodger Stadium, and we opened the season against the Baltimore Orioles, I believe it was, at Comiskey Park. And I looked at what I needed. I wrote down on a piece of paper, Andy, 17 saves. And I had to be 5-1 going to the break to get elected to the All-Star team. I looked at it one time each month from September 30th all the way through the end of the year, and past the end of the year into the next decade. And I was looking at, you know, what are we going to do here and how am I going to do this? And I just looked at it one time each month. They called me a week before the All-Star game, welcomed me to the All-Star team. I was 17 saves and I was 5-1. I got the win on Sunday, and I went at 6-1. My friends got to come to Dodger Stadium and see the only All-Star game that's ever been played at Dodger Stadium. They got to see me pitch the fifth.
That's amazing. And when did you start doing that, writing down goals before a season or even after a season?
I always did it. I still do to an extent. I still do that, but I make it in my mind.